What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Sight to the Blind podcast. I wanted to finish up what I was going to talk about in my last episode before I got carried away. Before I get into that, let's get into what's going on right now. As far as the war, Russia and Ukraine, it should be plain as day to you why they keep pushing Ukraine on you. It really should be really easy for you to see this. This whole Zelensky clown, this a comedian that turns into a president in a TV show, does it in real life. Come on, y'all. Y'all really got to be really stupid to believe this whole narrative that this president is real, that this war is real. It is a tool to usher in digital currency, to usher in a specific class system where you're monitored, managed, where your vaccine records are digital. Everything is becoming digital. NFTs, which is really the new age Beanie Babies. If you were alive at that time, you know how crazy Beanie Babies were and how expensive they were because they were collector's editions. It's the same thing. They just made Beanie Babies digital. Everything comes back in different forms. Every psyop, every indoctrination, every predictive programming comes back in newer and newer forms. They really don't do anything different. They probably haven't done anything different since Egypt, Babylon, Greece, and Rome. Just now we have technology to do it, and we're doing it at a faster rate. You know, the spells are being cast broader. It's even too loud. Sometimes it's too loud for me to go through some of this information. Because when I say too loud, I mean it's a constant barrage of information that they're trying to push on you to get you to believe one thing. And if you see it 100 million times over every single day you're hearing about it, you should know how loud it is, knowing it's something fake behind it. My theory is Venezuela is going to strengthen its ties with Russia. China is going to buy up all of Russia's debt and energy and gas. Saudi Arabia is already thinking about or going to leave the dollar and go to the yuan, which is Chinese currency. Everything is going to be pushed into one box, and China is going to run that box. And they are the ones who have outlawed digital currency. So just imagine, soon as China accumulates all of the debt from different various countries, which is they have the power to do so. Once they do that, once they side with Russia hard, once they side with Venezuela, once all these so-called communist countries side with one another, they can easily start sanctioning products in America. And I'm telling you, once China, you know, gets their balls out and say, oh, we're going to sanction America, it's over for us. We don't make anything. Not anything that's internationally good. We make nothing. We have fast food restaurants. If China sanctions their electronics, sanctions, y'all won't be able to play PlayStations and y'all won't be able to play anything. You'll be whining because you can't get the new Call of Duty. Whining you can't play NBA 2K. Cell phones. Apple's about to start having a subscription service where you can get the phones and you pay a monthly to keep your phone. Before, you know how you go through your cell phone company and you would just either pay to upgrade or you just bought the phone straight out. Apple is coming up a way where you have subscribed to Apple and you pay, say you pay $24 or $50 or $60 a month for your phone. And you could come, you could basically be paying this money where you don't get no relief from it, which you really know you go from one phone to the other. And that's what they're probably trying to do. Come out with different versions of the phone so you always trapped in paying a monthly subscription to Apple. That means they're preparing for something. That means they're preparing for sanctions. They're preparing for a setback. It's happening all over. People just don't see it because people are so... I really can't deal with people. People are so dumbed down into thinking, or dumbed down into believing whatever they see on TV and whatever is popular. This is literally like this country is like a big high school full of kids watching popular kids trying to emulate them. To give you examples, like Mean Girls. That's what it is. This country is like Mean Girls. Everybody's trying to develop themselves or develop their personalities based on whatever America puts on TV. Everybody went blue and gold and putting the Ukrainian flag all over their social media and saying they want to help Ukraine, they want to help these people. And you don't realize that this war's been going on since 2014 because America has destabilized it by promoting Nazism and fascism in between the Ukrainian military. And then now they're acting out. Most of those shots that you see, you can't tell me in 2 weeks that all of these buildings have been bombed out. All of these cities that have been taken over are taken over in 2 to 3 days, in 72 hours, basically. It's no way. It's no way that Russia is just casually moving in through Ukraine and taking over cities. And when they show you the cities being bombed out, there is no act of fires. It's like things been done for 2 to 3 months now. But people stare at TV and they think, oh, it's happening. It's real. But this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to go on Ukraine's side to make China, Russia, Venezuela, all these countries that Joe Biden is trying to give an olive branch to, that they're going to turn away from him, and they're going to go against American values or American digital system, American dollar, and crash the dollar. You guys are going to suffer. We are going to suffer. The middle class is going to suffer, all because they have fetched this story, this narrative, that we need to help Ukraine. You guys waited 2 to 3 months, maybe 6 to 8 months, to get a $600 stimulus check from a cold virus, and then here they are, writing a check for $14.2 billion in 2 days to go to Ukraine. Russia hasn't even stopped invading, yet they're going to write a check for $14.some billion while we're still in debt. That's the fastest way to disrupt the dollar. It's keep printing money, giving money away. And what they're doing is washing it. It's a money laundering pit. All they're doing is cutting the checks and bringing it up, getting the kickbacks from it. Because then we don't know where the money's going. We don't see any receipts of where that money goes. It's like that even here. They printed out $50 billion in rental assistance and no one saw where that money went. Politicians like Cortez and Bush, Cori Bush, all of a sudden don't know where that money went. Only 5% of that money was even given out to help rental assistance. What they want is to get you up off your property, kick you out in the street, so then they can offer you some relief. They can offer you some help, which is the help is going to be, oh, take this digital mark. We're going to put you in a facility where you can have a mark. You don't have to worry about money anymore. You don't have to worry about rent. Everything is done in your hand. Everything is done in your head. Just get this implant. Get this chip. And people are going to fall for it because you have families. You want to live. You don't want to be in the street. It's going to be a rough time for people in the street because then violence is going to run rampant. Rape, torture, all that sadistic stuff people have been watching for the last 5 years, all this satanic stuff is coming out. A guy in Florida, in Walmart, black kid, tried to rape a Spanish woman in the middle of a Walmart in midday. Middle of a Walmart. Dude tried to get a Spanish woman on the ground wearing pants. Tried to rape this woman in the middle of a Walmart. People forget about the spiritual aspect in all this. The Most High said in the last days, demons would run loose. There would be appearance of demons. All they've been doing, this thing with CERN and all that, this is what they've been doing. You don't need CERN to get demons to run through here. They've been running through here before CERN was even created. Like the rock bands. I only mention that because, again, Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters is around death. The drummer Taylor Hawkins dies at 50, or he even died at 50. He was found dead at 50. And if you go through all these rock and roll acts like Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page, and all these other acts I can't really remember. But if you go through the 70s rock and roll, they were the ones that was really into black magic, white magic, Aleister Crowley, the Law of Thelema, which is Do What Thou Wilt. They worshipped Aleister Crowley. They would go to his house to make records. They would go to different parts of the world, create a studio within these haunted houses and make records and then get plagued by demons. Dave Grohl came out with a movie in February called Studio 666, which all he did was just copy what Jimmy Page did in Aleister and all these other bands in the 70s did in various rock and roll bands, which is conjure up demons, do spells to make themselves famous. They did this in the 70s by themselves. And now the mainstream industry, music industry, does this as a actual corporation. Now they've been able to package it and produce it within that conglomerate, which is the music industry. So David Grohl has a drummer, which is his best friend, coincidentally. His best friend dies at 50 while they're touring. Was found dead. Don't know what. We won't know what it is, but it'll just say he was found dead. Don't know if it was an overdose or not. But now everybody's going back to the interview that Dave Grohl did about his best friend in the hospital from a drug overdose. So people are going to assume, because from that interview, he died from an overdose at 50. I mean, when Kurt Cobain, that botched suicide that they tried to make everybody believe that he had a shotgun longer than his arms, pointed into his mouth, that he shot his face off. If you really pour through the evidence and pour through the facts, you know that it was a hit. It was a sacrifice of something he didn't want to do, which is he was really big, a really big artist that went against being managed, really went against being controlled. He went against the industry. So they was probably trying to gather him into the occult, and he just didn't want to. I mean, we all know about his ex-girlfriend being famous off of his sacrifice. She had a letter in her book bag. No one checked her book bag, but had a letter written that she was practicing his handwriting. So the death note, the suicide note that he left, she wrote that. No one brought this up. But over time, evidence and facts come out. She had a note, she had a paper, where she was practicing Kurt's handwriting. All the way down to, I'm talking about letters, his signature, she was practicing it. So, of course, she wrote that note. Dave Grohl, after that, he'd been wanting to go into a new direction with Nirvana. Kurt didn't want to. So, all of a sudden, he got his new band, and then he took over. I mean, this is sacrifice season. You knew that when I told you, they were going to go off during the month of March. March 23, March 20, anything that adds up to sixes or 33s, they were going to come out with it. And there you have it. Hawkins dies, last night, whatever. Even if you did 3, 2, 6, 2 divided by 6 is 3. So it's really 3, 3. Even if he died 3-2-5. I mean, like again, you subtract it. It's 3-3-3. Oh, 3-2-6 is, yeah, it's divided. But yeah, anything. It all adds up. The dude makes a movie. The dude makes a movie in February called Studio 666. Taylor Hawkins was born in February. And in the trailer that I saw, he takes a symbol. Dave Grohl picks up a symbol and frisbee it at his head. I'm going to guess he decapitates his head. Decapitates him in this movie and kills him. So, I mean, come on. But they do this in front of you and people are like, you far-fetched, you're reaching. People don't, because people are infested with demons. They don't know that, but they are. They push on you. Like I said before, there are a lot of transgender athletes in professional sports or even in the Olympics. They just don't, you don't know about them. What they do is what they did with Neuralink, which is, you put an implant in your head, is to give you something so far-fetched, so out there, so outrageous. Then they slide the little thing over. You'll be like, oh, I'm this big old chip in my head that it makes me link to the internet. And then they give you, hey, take this little tiny itty bitty bitty itty bitty implant in your hand. You won't be able to see it. You won't be able to feel it, but it can do a lot of things for you. It's the same thing with males participating in professional or collegiate female athletics. Like Leah Thomas. Dude went 21 years of being a grown man. All of a sudden, I want to be a woman. Now, you have to know the backing of this. You got to know he's connected to somebody. Somebody pulled him aside and said, hey, do this. And it happened to be in Pennsylvania, which is the same state. Rachel Levin, you know, the male Jewish doctor that's working with the Biden administration. You think that's a coincidence that they specifically picked this kid from Pennsylvania? It's the gathering of the energy in this specific psyop to push on you ugly males turning into ugly women. To make it so out in your face, like not even trying to dress it up a bit. Not even try to give you a good window dressing. They literally put gargoyles in dresses and say, here, this is a woman now. And matter of fact, here, this is Woman of the Year during Women's History Month. And then he goes into the swimming championship on Women's History Month and beats those girls. Of course, he didn't beat them outright. I mean, obviously, he was 240-something ranked in his male division. And obviously, he wasn't really a good swimmer as a male, so he's probably subpar swimmer as a female. But he barely beat, you know, the women there. And of course, they made it so awkward where they made him look separate from everybody else and all the girls that were together. Like, I could feel those girls, you know, being upset. I could feel it. But they want you to concentrate on that. They want that to be the trophy, the shining glory, the shield, the Statue of Liberty of what they're trying to do and what they do. Because they know white folk don't really admire certain athletes like that. They just don't. They aren't like us. White folk in other nations, the Asians, they aren't like us. They don't go whoring after idols as hard as we do. We set up social media accounts. We go to a war. We don't have a money in our pocket or a pot to piss in. But we will defend our celebrities, our idols, because of the color of their skin. White folk don't care that much. They really don't. They see something like, oh, no, we're not doing that. I mean, I read the comments online. Of course, there's some that say, oh, he's beautiful, he's brave, but the majority, it's hard for them to swallow. It's harder for them to swallow to see a grown man get up there and say, oh, I'm a woman now, and then grow his hair long. And then say, I'm going to compete as a woman. And don't give really no good transformation into being a female other than doing half-ass makeup. But that's where we are. But they're sliding in black trans. Or they have been sliding in black trans athletes. Because we are the ones that they're trying to fool. We are the ones they want us separated from our Most High. They are the ones that they are used as gatekeepers to push on us specifically. There was no, it's the same thing with Michelle Obama having that Zoom call or having that conference with Zendaya Wade. It's the same. They don't do this with Leah Thomas or Rachel Levin. They didn't have that sit down with Michelle Obama and all that. They didn't do that because they know how hard we go defending whatever is on TV based on the color of skin. We really are the dumbest people with that. We really are. And that's because, this is the topic of my conversation, that's because we don't know who our enemies are. We don't know our enemies from a hole in the wall. We believe every time we see something on TV that says Republican, a Confederate flag, or Nazi, or fascism, we automatically assume these people are our enemies based on the color of skin. Based on a political ideology. But we don't understand, but we're too stupid to understand that that's the role of having gatekeepers is for people who are underneath our skin tone, working with people who are our true enemies, to go to them to tell us who's right and who's wrong. When they're all wrong. If you look at it, like, I know a lot of people like that, especially Christians, like to quote Matthew, Luke, about, oh, do good to your enemies, serve them that despitefully use you and all that. It's a time to not pay attention on it, especially if your enemies are stronger. Yes, it's time for you to endure. Take what they give to you and this with a grain of salt and keep it moving. But those days are done. I'm sorry. Those days are done. I'm not trying to step on the toes of the Mashiach. I'm not. But I'm telling you, it's a time and a place and a season for all things that Solomon said. There's going to be a time to pray, and it's going to be a time not to pray. There's going to be a time for peace. There's going to be a time for war. There's going to be a time to be passive, but there's going to be a time to fight. And this is the time and the period of our lives in this generation where we better start knuckling up to who our enemies are. And stop looking at everything as color. Look everything as a doctrine, as a principle, as a spiritual oath that people have taken to keep you under a boot, to keep you dumbed down in ignorance. Chapter 4, Ezra 6. At that time shall friends fight one. Let me start over. Chapter 4, Book of Ezra, the fourth book of Ezra, chapter 6, verse 24. At that time shall friends fight one against another like enemies, and the earth shall stand in fear with those that dwell therein. The springs of the fountains shall stand still, and in 3 hours they shall not run. Whosoever remains from all these that I have told you, you shall escape and see my salvation and the word and the end of your world. That means the heat's going to be turned up. And if you don't separate yourself from so-called your true enemies, you're going to get overtaken by them. They're going to set up snares and traps for you. Everybody's been practicing or somewhat practicing soft blood sacrificing or soft rituals on each other. People are doing things to get their way. If somebody undercutting you or lying to you behind your job or treating you a certain type of way behind your job, that's because they're plotting. When the Mashiach said the enemies are going to be of your household, because he was going to come through and separate based on truth, based on a principle, based on a commandment, a covenant. In the last days, he knew these days, anytime when truth rears itself up, righteousness rears itself up, it's going to cause a deep split with your relationships, with anybody. Not just based on color, with anybody. You need to start with your household first. Because once you start attaining some type of level of righteousness and you start walking in under these covenants and walking with your head high, a spiritual highness, you're going to make enemies out of people who see you as different. Why? Because they are glued to that television set. They are glued to wickedness. And this is a time where anything wicked is good, anything good is bad. So now you are naturally, spiritually, mentally, emotionally the enemy. You need to open your eyes and see it coming. Get Matthew and Luke out your brain at this time. If you want to save, I'm not saying save your life, if you want to be smart and make smart decisions and make smart movements and know how to maneuver and finesse this system in these end times where it benefits you, know who your enemies are. Start with your own household. That is the most important. Because when you start walking and doing different things that the Most High likes, you are going to naturally make enemies out of people who are spiritually wicked. who are doing what thou wilt. Which is a funny concept to me. Because Aleister Crowley came out with this, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. But people who don't understand that, still living under Aleister Crowley's mantra or motto, which is let people enjoy things. You hear that a lot in social media. Let people enjoy things. When you talk about celebrities, when you talk about people wilding out or being naked on social media, the first thing they always say is let people enjoy things. That's the same motto as do what thou wilt. Let people enjoy what they love to do. Except don't let people enjoy calling out wickedness. That's the upset to that. If do what thou wilt means I love calling out wickedness and calling out symbolism and calling out the, you know, the psyops and the indoctrination that they're trying to push on people, that's me doing what I love. But they hate you, but you can't do that because it goes against what they want to do, which is doing what they really want to do. It just keep everybody dumbed down and in their box, and nobody steps up out of their righteousness, so it lowers your frequency into their frequency. So you're so ashamed to speak up because now they go bagging on you and talking about you. But you people like don't understand what the Most High has said or what the blessings were in Scripture when it comes to your enemies. I mean, this is what I'm going to get into Joshua 88 later. But this is the whole point of Joshua. This is the whole point of the Israelites leaving Egypt. They left Egypt to take the covenant underneath Mount Sinai. All the commandments were given to one nation. It wasn't given to the whole world. It was given to one nation to live out these commandments and covenants. And soon as they left Mount Sinai, the Most High said, clear all these people out of here. I'm not talking about just take all the men out, take all the wickedness out. I want everybody that's in this land off of it because I can't stand their abominable practices. And what was their practice? Because they were the Canaanites. What was their practice? Blood sacrificing, ritualizing each other, and pedophilia. Having sex with each other. Most of it is even bestiality, which is having sex with other animals. This is what was going on in the kingdom of Ham, from Egypt to Babylon to Canaan. This is what wickedness was doing. This is what sexual immorality was. It wasn't just they were gay. They got into everything. Which I don't know why you would go from wanting to have sex with a human to all of a sudden you saw a goat or a camel and say, yeah, I'm gonna put my penis in that. Or a woman's like, oh, I'm going to do this horse. I'm going to do this donkey. I don't know what type of demon you could even conjure up to make you believe that that was going to be pleasurable for you. But that's what they did. So it's clear to me when I read scripture that the Most High has enemies. And the reason, you know, reason why that he had them kill mothers, women, daughters, babies. You know why? It's the same that's going to work and when I get to Zechariah, verse 7. It's the same thing. Because when you raise up children underneath a spiritual doctrine, like the Canaanites did, it wasn't going to be a nation of children that was going to wake up and say, this is wrong. We want to follow the Most High. It's not going to happen. That's why he removed all of them, including the babies. Because when they grew up, they were going to grow up knowing that the Israelites killed their parents and that was going to be a war. They would grow up, even if the Israelites let the Canaanites live and say, oh, we just live amongst you, they were going to still practice what they're going to practice. Their children was going to grow up learning blood sacrifice, learning pedophilia, learning bestiality, and they were going to practice what their parents taught them. It's the same thing that's going to happen to us. Zechariah, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, says Yahuwah. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, not some of the land, not a little bit of the land, not part of the land, all of the land, says Yahuwah. Two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yahuwah Elohaya. And we are doing that now. I am doing that now. I would like to be part of the third part, not the two-thirds. And the reason why they're going to be the two-thirds cut out of this land is because y'all are already indoctrinated in this wickedness and defending wickedness based on what you think is color, what you think is success. That's what you are doing. So when you train your children, if you look, say, example, Boosie. Take little Boosie. You know he's a industry plant. You know he's their coon. He acts the way he acts. He brings up everything about homophobia and gay men. It's because that's what his job is to do. His job is to stir up the lower frequency Negroes into choosing the side of Lil Boosie being crazy or Lil Nas. That's the route they make you go as young black men. So no matter if you don't pay attention to what he says or not, the fact is always in your head that this black man gets up with dark circles on his eyes as if he don't drink water, and he's always worrying about what gay men are doing. That means that no matter how many times he say gay or whatever, it's in your brain. So if you sit here and be a fan of Boosie, you listen to everything he says and does, or watch what he does, you absorb that stupidity. So you can't think straight because he got too much of that going around in your head. So you look at him and then you look at his family. I seen a picture on Instagram where his son was using a magnifying glass to look up this girl's coochie. This is the part of the two-thirds. The same thing that works with Kanye and his children. What is he raising? Is he raising them up in the church? No. Is he raising them up in the commandments and covenant of Yah? No. He's raising them up as Baal. He's raising them up as Babylon. He's raising them up as the Canaanites. This is the example of why the Most High wanted everybody, especially like the Amalekites, because they were in trouble for doing the same thing. This is why he said, I want the women and the kids, I want them all destroyed. Because when they grow up, they are going to perpetuate the same wickedness that I can't stand that's going on. It's the same thing y'all doing. When these rappers and entertainers sacrifice their children, good for them. They weren't going to do nothing but bring up garbage. They got y'all to emulate. They really got y'all to emulate having babies out of wedlock. Having babies out of wedlock by wicked people. So then it tears up your whole family household structure. And then these kids grow up really regurgitating or reliving your curses. The curses that you bring into your home because of your decision and your wickedness, that feeds down into your children. And if you not somewhat have a foundation of Yah, the Most High, and covenants, your children are going to do the same exact thing you did. It's very seldom that anybody that grew up in wickedness is going to, their children is going to somehow find righteousness and turn themselves over to the Most High or walk right. It's the numbers don't add up. The ratio will be way off. That's the whole reason why the Most High just get rid of all of them, because they don't have a foundation. Without a foundation, there is just going to be a problem for those who are righteous and children who are righteousness, who are growing up in righteousness, who are being taught righteous things. This is the whole point of, like, when you have children, like my child, you know, I have to give her more of the spirit and a little bit less of the world. But the world I give her is very finite. My daughter loves to play tennis, so I give her a very finite world that she shouldn't put all of her bags, like she shouldn't fall in love with the world. I let her do as much as I let her do, as long as it doesn't conflict her spirit and conflict the covenants and what I'm teaching her with the Most High. So I make her do book reports. I don't post them on social media because that's a private matter for me and her, and me and the Most High, is her do these book reports, knowing that between me, her, and the Most High, that she's doing them, that she's reading and learning. But I make her read scriptures every other day when she's with me. So she's going to grow up a certain way. But y'all teaching your kids how to TikTok. If you go to Instagram, you teaching your kids vanity. Your kids are doing your adult poses, wearing kiddie clothes that look like adultish, doing these poses, putting them on social media. I mean, I had stopped doing it. I stopped just posting just my daughter. It's me with her. Most of the times people see me, it's me with her. But y'all teaching your kids vanity, putting a phone in their face every other time, telling them to dress up, telling them to put on makeup. Some of y'all are even putting makeup on your children, on your little girls. Y'all already whoring them out. Y'all already ritually sacrificing because you're watching what celebrities are doing with their children. And this is my point. You don't know who your enemies are. You think these people are set up over you, or these celebrities are making it because they're successful and they're talented. Yeah, but if you see that the talent pool isn't what it used to be in the 90s, in the 2000s. It's been dumbed down because it's been more expensive to make music, make movies, than it has ever been. You think inflation is not hitting entertainment industry? It is. That's why these rappers wear these fake diamond chokers. That the chains ain't really real. That's why their music videos look like it was just shot in a parking lot. It was just shot in a condo or shot in their apartment. This is why they make it look grungy and make it so these people, and then you see them pop up with Lambos and giving, like Rick Ross giving his daughter a Lambo and like, come on, or a Birkin bag. It's the same thing. They want y'all to go buy and want this stuff when it's not their stuff neither. It really isn't. You think Rick Ross can cut an album and barely ever make platinum and barely ever make gold? And they're just streaming music. You think he makes enough money to live in that mansion? You understand that when they talk about Freemasonry, and they talk about these people own the real estate market, which means when they have houses that no one lives in, or these castles and these mansions, they put their entertainers in there to sell you a lifestyle that these people actually are making money. These people are broke. Him giving his daughter a Lambo, which is a tax write-off. That's a company tax write-off. It comes from his company because they allow him to sign artists. And it comes from the record label's company. So everybody get a kickback from it. Even the dealer. Even the dealership that he got the car from. They get a kickback from it. They don't spend money out of their own pocket. You would think these people make so much money. Why these people continually need to stay in America? Wouldn't you think if I was a billionaire, why would I be in Montana? Why would I be in LA? I would be, my summer homes would be literally in an island. You wouldn't see me in America if I was a billionaire. My house would be all you. Every time you see me on Instagram, I'm either in other countries. I am never in my home country being a billionaire. If I spent most of my time in America, the last place I would want to be as a billionaire would be in America. I'm just telling you that. But you can't. Did you see these entertainers never in? They're never in other places. They're always in America, bragging about, oh, this is what we got. This is what we do. We buy this bag. We buy that bag. Real billionaires don't be bragging about what they got. Real billionaire, you don't even know what real billionaires look like. But like I said before, you don't know who your enemies are. You're worshiping the two-thirds. You worshiping these house Negroes that they set up on you in the political department. Like already, because black folks see other black folk in an area that they really shouldn't be in and say, oh, that's success. It's the same thing like with music. Black people see black people in a genre of music that they shouldn't belong in, but they see it and they worship it because it's black people amongst white folk, predominantly white folk. So you think that's success. I don't know how many times I'm going to see this picture of Ketanji Brown Jackson's daughter admiring her as the go-to photo of what black success is. It's black trash is what it is. It's garbage. That's what it is. Because if you dig underneath, if you really dig underneath where she got her start from, it was given pedophiles, people who sexually assault children, people who procure child kiddie porn and take pictures of other people's children, sometimes their children. I posted it, what Josh Hawley said. But this is what they want. This information, this truth, never comes out from a black mouth. It comes out of a white mouth. So then, and it comes from a white side of the right-left paradigm. So black folk don't even pay attention to it because a white man said it. A white Republican said it. Tucker Carlson said it. That she was given lenient sentences to people who sexually assault children. Pedophiles. Then her whole law school career was trying to understand the difference between having kiddie porn and being a pedophile with kiddie porn. But if you go to her interview, or go to her confirmation hearing, they asked, Lindsey Graham asked her, which they have never asked a judge about their faith, but you don't know what faith she is. You have never been told what her faith is. She just said faith. And she said, oh, this is the greatest country. God has put me in this position. But we know it ain't a Christian God. We know it ain't Islam. Because they would say it. She would wear the hijab. She would be dressed formally as a Muslim if she was that. If she was a Christian, she would say Christian. It ain't nothing to be a black Christian. That's what they want you to. They think Kanye is a black Christian. So it's not that. But during her confirmation hearing, they said, Lindsey Graham asked her, is your faith important? Knowing the Constitution doesn't allow for a test to test you on your faith. But she never says what her faith is. She just said, well, she quoted, this is the dead giveaway. She quotes Article 6. Remember, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, was all drawn up, written out, signed by Freemasons, which are aka Luciferians. So their whole thing, and like I told you before, their base numbers are 3, 33, 6, and 666, or even 69. So of course, that's the answer that she put in plain sight, that what was her, she says, my faith is extremely important and personal to me. But she referred to Article 6. Lindsey Graham knew what Article 6 was. They all know what the Article 6 is. But they gave that softball question to her because she was the only one that would answer it. They letting you know who she assigned to. Who's her real God. See, they letting you know. But because black America is pretty much dumbed down at this point, pretty much remedial, they look at it as a white man asking a black woman about her faith in God. And don't think nothing of it. Now, you can't be a Christian, or you really can't be a Muslim, if you're turning around letting pedophiles off for raping and touching children. So obviously, it ain't the Most High. It's Satan. That's when Whoopi Goldberg goes, Alan Dershowitz, everybody's going, Alan Dershowitz said, Ted Cruz is my student. Ted Cruz and Ketanji Brown were classmates at Harvard. Just so you know how big this circle is. This show that they put on for you. And it's this show. Why do you think they put this show on? It's because black women are dumbed down, or most of the black women in the two-thirds department are dumbed down into thinking success is being in places where white folk are, or white folk dominated. So in order for Ketanji Brown Jackson to be even given over or have her name put into that hat, she had to let people who touch children off the hook. I'm talking about giving them sentences 2 to 3 to even 10 to 20 months underneath the normal limitations of where they should be sentenced at. Why only these pedophiles? Why not murderers? Not people who smoke weed? None of that comes up. None of that came up. But the white politician brought up the pedophile situation. And everybody glazed over it because black people so dumb thinking they think success is being in places where white folk are. Or being in places that only white males are. And this is the beauty. This is the indoctrination I love watching when I watch foolishness like this. It's because every time they go up there, every time you see a black woman in a political arena, in that box, there is a white man right next to them that looks like a gatekeeper, that looks like a handler. And that's exactly what they did to Kamala Harris. She's not a black woman, she's an Indian woman. And it's very seldom that you would see the Punjabis date outside their race. They really don't even do that. The same thing with Jews don't date outside their religion. Indians don't really date outside their race. Asians don't really date outside their race. But when it comes to black, when it comes to the image of the black female, they want you to be hogtied, yoked, involved, gatekeeped, managed, MK Ultra'd, handled by a man of another race. And it's always a white man. Kamala Harris's husband is white. He's Jewish and white. And what did he do? He put on a, you know, gay pride parade day and was right next to her when she was campaigning and all that. Made him look like the best supportive white husband ever. That means it made it seem like this is the cream of the crop. If you want to get somebody to support you, get a white man. If you want somebody to be there with you neck and neck that will hold you up and exalt you, get a white man. So then when they bring in Ketanji Brown, the first black female Supreme Court justice, what do you think was going to happen? They got her daughter admiring her, not knowing that her mommy allows for grown men to touch children. But this is the photo that black America is eating up right now. Then you saw her husband crying and sobbing when he said, oh, my husband of such a 25 years has been like, she boosted him up. And what do black women see as that indoctrination? What do they see? They see to be in this arena, to be supported, to be successful, it has to be with the white man. That's why they do it on you. If you go back to Willie Lynch's How to Break an African Woman, How to Make a Slave, all of it is because the black woman has to have a demoralized image of a black man in order for her to leave her natural covering, the covering of the Most High, to go into their space, to go into another racist space, to thrive and dwell, thinking it's being successful, but really you're a bedwench. That's basically what you are. And then when you see that, it funnels down in a pyramid scheme. But then again, you don't know who your true enemies are. It's people to uphold the image of hating your race, hating your natural covering, in favor for theirs, so that you can glorify it and to believe that, oh, this is making it. This is how we fight back. This is how we fight back against police brutality. This is how we fight back against so-called the boogeyman, white supremacy. By having one black female Supreme Court justice that let pedophiles loose, they think that this is going to be the win-win for us. And I go to Twitter. I'm going to read some of these tweets that people have been saying. Brittany Cooper. I don't know who it is, but Brittany Cooper at Professor Crunk is her name. I don't know a liberal-minded black woman watching this who is not enraged. Some Twitter called Maid, Eisenhouse Hot, whatever. As a black woman, am I supposed to be surprised that a white racist man is a vote against the elevation of a black woman? Absolutely not. I expect every white racist in Congress to vote no on Ketanji Brown Jackson's Supreme Court confirmation, and that includes Mitch McConnell. Rebecca Carroll, Rebel 19. The way that a black woman is in America can be as highly hyper-educated, intelligent, elegant, skilled, experienced, and qualified as KBJ and still be treated like this by white men on national television is not even symbolic. It is a glaring body of evidence. This is what's coming out of the mouths, is what they want to come out of the mouths of ignorant black women who don't know nothing and still have to participate in this system and think that getting into the system, getting into a predominantly white system is just going to make it better for all black Americans in this country. Where we are headed, no matter what president, no matter what Supreme Court justices, no matter what goes on in Russian Ukraine, we are still funneling into the Antichrist for everybody to take a mark. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a funny and hilarious day when these Egyptian curses and plagues unleash themselves on this world again, and people are going to be so dumbfounded and stupid, they don't know what will be going on and know what's going to happen to them. It's because they are sitting here wasting time on social media and Twitter trying to defend something they don't know nothing they're talking about. Defending their enemies. Because they don't know who they are. They think a black woman in this stupid Supreme Court justice system, which you really haven't seen them really prosecute anybody of really a real value. They can't take Ghislaine Maxwell down. And you think that it's only been two girls that's been on that Lolita Express. It's been millions of girls over a time period since the 90s and 80s that they've been doing this. And they can only find two women that can really fit the bill to take Ghislaine Maxwell down. And they didn't even take her down. You just didn't even hear nothing about her anymore. This is the same court system that had just literally just said lynching was illegal, which y'all need these bills to feel validated in this country. I don't need these bills. I no longer need the justice system or the law of this land to defend me now. I don't need that. Y'all need that. That's which is why Black America cries, whimpers, and whines every time they pass law and it fails, or they pass it and succeed based on some racial component. That's why y'all foam at the mouth every time they offer this to you. So you really do believe, thinking that your enemy that's going to sit in that Supreme Court justice, which is Ketanji Brown Jackson, is going to benefit you. That's literally, you know, retarded is what it is. It's retarded. I'm sorry that I don't talk about any other races like the Asians and other white folk and all that and whatever ethnic background, you know, because you're not as stupid as our people. You're really not. Yeah, you do dumb stuff, but you're not as ignorant as how we can get ignorant. Only us that we really look at this world as left, right, black, white. We look at this world, oh, white racist men in America, white racist this, white racist that. But don't realize these are the same men that come from the same bloodlines that instituted all the pagan holidays that you participate in. No one told you with a gun to your head. One white man with a gun to your head said, hey, do Thanksgiving, do Christmas, do Easter, do Halloween. You fools do it automatically. And these are the same people who worship Satan. The government system is set up in a Luciferian agenda, which is Satan. Everything you see in front of your face on that TV is what Satan wants you to do. Satan wants you to believe. Satan thinks these people, these so-called people, are your enemy. And you don't really know who your true enemies are. Because then you go back to MLK, which is another enemy of you, of yours. Another enemy that gets you to believe like, oh, we should just bury our head in the sand or just walk with our heads down until the good mighty day that this Antichrist will come and save us from all our ills and troubles. That we should keep marching for racial equity. This is the dumbest term I ever heard in my life. But y'all fall for it. Y'all need to wake up. When you want to shut America down, wake up and go back to these laws, statutes, commandments. Wake up and go back to your heritage. Wake up and do that. Stop paying attention to and trying to emulate everything you see on social media. Stop defending celebrities. But let me give you first, before I get into Josh Yeady, which I promised you I was getting into, let's get into what the Most High has said or what the blessings have been when it comes to our enemies. Now, I'm not going to say the verses in this. You should look up these verses on your own, or look up the words on your own in the Sefer app, which is why I love the Sefer app, because sometimes I can't memorize scriptures and I just memorize the words within them. And then that's how I pop up with phrases and new phrases. And that's how I learn. So you're going to learn how I'm going to learn. So I'm not going to give you the verses when it comes to these verses about enemies. This is what the blessing was over Isaac's blessing over Levi and Judah. And let all who hate you fall down before you, and let all your adversaries be rooted out and perish, and be blessed be he that blesses you, and cursed be every nation that curses you. And to Judah, he said, may Yahuwah give you strength and power to tread down all that hate you. A prince shall you be. You and one of your sons over the sons of Jacob, may your name and the name of your sons go forth and traverse every land and region. Then shall the other nations fear before your face, and all the nations shall quake, and all the peoples shall quake. And in you shall be the help of Jacob, and in you be found the salvation of Israel. And when you sit on the throne of your honor, of your righteousness, there should be great peace for all the seed of the sons of the beloved. Blessed be he that blesses you, and all that hate you and afflict you and curse you shall be rooted out and destroyed from the earth and be accursed. Yahuwah, you are he whom your brethren shall praise. Your hand shall be in the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son. You are gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rise him up, rouse him up? No man shall stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moshe, so will I be with you. Only be strong and of good courage to observe all the Torah which Moshe commanded you. Turn not from the way either to the right or to the left, in order that you may prosper in all that you do. And I will give peace in the land, lying down with nothing to fear. And the Shabbat of life, though evil be part of the land, there is no sword to bring in the land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before Yahuwah Elohim, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, in the months, beginning your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your ascending smoke offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that ye may be to you for a memorial before Yahuwah Elohim. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more than you, be not afraid of them. For Yahuwah Elohaka is with you, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you are come nigh unto battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For Yahuwah Elohim is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For Yahuwah is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Yahuwah shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten for your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you 7 ways. Yahuwah shall come command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto, and he shall bless you in the land which Yahuwah Elohaka gives you. Yahuwah shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall guard the commandments of Yahuwah Elohaka and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yahuwah, and they shall be afraid of you. And the fear of Elohim was on all the kingdoms of those countries, when they had heard that Yahuwah fought against the enemies of Israel. There. It don't say he fought against the enemies of Rome, Egypt, Macedonia, Greece, America, Saudi Arabia, Russia. It doesn't say none of that in Scripture. It says Israel. The lost and scattered sheep of the 12 tribes. With Judah being the scepter. The crown. This is what Scripture is. If you get the Sefer app and go search and just type in enemies in the search column, just go through them. Go through what the Most High has instructed for his children to do to his enemies. It's not our enemies. It's his enemies. People who are, this is why they want us completely stupid and dumbed down and to walk in sin. I'm going to give you a great explanation or a great story to go through why they want you in sin, why they want you to have $30,000 Birkin bags, why they want you to have Gucci belts and Gucci shoes, why they want you to walk around looking stupid with wigs on that hate the texture of your hair, and no matter what you say to me, oh, it's about protecting this side, blah, 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 blah. No, it ain't, because you do that everywhere you go now, and if you do, when you don't wear that wig, you're wearing a bonnet. And no matter what you're trying to say, you make us look stupid in these streets as a unit, as a people, when you do that. Because they have gotten you to hate yourself, not the black man. You have gotten the ability to hate yourself based on their enemies of the same color as you are that's been set up over you to make you look stupid, to make you look downtrodden, to make you look haughty, to make you look like whores. No one, black men ain't doing this. They're not even talking about the righteousness that black men are elevating into. Everything is about the black woman. The black woman is. The black woman that. The black woman is. They are feeding off your stupidity in this system to make yourself rich through their customs, through their rituals, through their bar that they have set, placed over you, that will never be raised unless you accept their rituals, their rules, their hedonism, their God. And some of you are widely accepting to all of that that they give you. Why? Because you see yourself away from the trash men that you dated, because obviously it's what you're attracting. It's like Cat Williams said, it must be something about your ain't, you know, he said, you know, dung or poop. It ain't, I'm just going to say it. Pardon my curse, but I need it for this. He said, it must be something about your ain't shit love that's attracting ain't shit inwards. That's what he said. So you make all these stories, like Cardi B comes out with, and Summer Walker comes out with this song of No Love. Perfect song for the summer. So all y'all black women can be like, oh, the men that I'm talking about, the men that I date, keep cheating, keep going in girls' DMs. And that's what the song is about. The whole song starts off with Cardi B talking about, oh, you and then some girls' DMs. This is 10 years of social media. Y'all still going in other girls' DMs? Y'all still choosing men? Who I don't, and this is what it is when you gravitate or you attract in your spirit, this God is spirit you think you attracting. You can't attract no righteous men. You can't attract no men that's gonna cover for you. You can attract no men that's really gonna go to war for you. You're attracting simps. You're attracting eunuchs. You're attracting men who basically been raised by their mothers their whole life. So they're almost a step away from either making you their mama or making you the pedestal to go into being gay. That's what that is. And that's the men that y'all are choosing. So you have this image of black males being the male that ain't shit, being the male that keep lying, being the male that's going after girls, doing this and doing that because you're not getting idolized anymore. So now you make a song about it. It spreads across all the black women. So black women go into the summertime ready to make all type of worst decisions, the whole most worst decisions of their lives, having babies out of wedlock by one man that treats them maybe half as good for a week and not for the rest of the time, get trapped in that. But then you see the image of Ketanji Brown Jackson with a white man. So you assume, man, I got to get my ish together to go to be with a white man. I got to get my ish together to leave my covering and think the government is going to help me. The government is going to provide for me. The government is going to do good for me. And y'all haven't found that yet since the 1800s. That has never been true. But this is the whole point, because y'all get mad at the Most High for him not helping you. And you get on social media and say, oh, I'm the daughter of the Most High and I'm God's child. And you quote scripture, and then the whole page is you doing ass shots. Or you doing vanity. The whole page is you picking pictures of yourself. So I don't know how the Most High is first. But this is the stupidity that's seeping into our culture, into this generation. So let me take you a backstory. So Joshua was 40 years old when they came to scout out the land. So before the Most High got upset with the Israelites for when he made them go 40 years in the wilderness, it's because when they went to go scout out the land that was flowing with milk and honey, they came back. Joshua was with them too. They came back and said, majority of them said, the land is not good. It eats up its inhabitants. I don't know what that meant. Maybe they saw it was, you know, giants, or they saw, you know, they did see giants, but they were scared because the land was big and was bushy or whatever. It had a lot of terrain. So they came back and said, we don't like this. Joshua said, it's good. I don't know what they're talking about, but this land is good for us. The Most High got incredibly angry at that fact. And that's when he said, nobody under the age of 20, or he put an age restriction. He said, nobody in this generation is ever going to see this land until they die. And it was literally 40 years. I mean, 40 years past that point. So all the people who were already old at that time, who probably scouted the land, he waited for them to die off in order for them to get the land of milk and honey. So at that time, when it was time for Joshua to root out the Canaanites, he was 80 years old. Could you imagine that? He was 80 years old, having to go to war with all of the tribes of the Canaanites, which he did, this is like a little, you know, anecdote in the middle of it. It's never rely on your own strength. You know, obviously, when you go through scripture, you find that the Most High didn't allow the Israelites to go into battle with all of their numbers, because they would automatically assume like, oh, our strength, we don't need the Most High. Our strength in numbers is going to root out some tribes. But Most High in the Book of Kings wouldn't let them go up with certain numbers, because he didn't want them to get, you know, to get haughty, to get full of pride and thinking they could do this on their own. So it was amazing that he chose Joshua, obviously because he knew Joshua's heart, but also he knew that his work and his wonders and works would shine in Joshua, because everybody looked at Joshua like, man, he's 80 years old. Do you think he can do this? You think that's like if you watch Joe Biden with an axe go out in the war against Russia, you would laugh. You would. You'd be like, no way. But if he conquered by himself, you know, taking over stuff, you'd be like, whoa, wow, God is really with him. You would think that. So just transfer it over to the Israelites. So them seeing 80-year-old Joshua getting ready to go to battle against young Canaanites, you'd be like, man, the Most High must be really with you. So the Most High said, get these people off this land. And I'm telling you, he's like, these are the rules of the game. You kill man, woman, child, I want them all gone. But you can take their cattle, you can take their livestock, but I don't want you to touch their golden idols. I don't want you to touch their money. This is the rules now. So Joshua went down in there, and they did everything they were supposed to do. So they were going to conquer Ai, which is another, you know, Canaanite city. So Joshua said, well, you know, just take 3,000 men, because there aren't a lot of men in this particular city in Ai. So it could be easily taken over. So just send 3,000. 3,000 Israelites went over there, got their butts beat, ran back. And Joshua fell to his face and said, why? Why have you done this? Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. Joshua 88, verse 32. And Yahuwah said to Yahusha, why do you fall upon your face? Rise, get you off, for Israel has sinned and taken up the accursed thing. I will no more be with them unless they destroy the accursed thing from amongst them. So what was the accursed thing? A man from Judah named Achan. He took the accursed thing. He took silver. He took the things the Most High said don't take. He took the money, and he took gold. He took silver, and he tried to bury it. He buried it underneath the ground by the tent he was staying at. So the Israelites lost in battle, and the Most High said, I'm not going to be with you, and I'm never going to be with you, because one man has taken of the accursed thing and brought it into the camp of Israel. So the Israelites lost, not because they can't beat nobody. They lost because of the Most High's enemy with a specific thing that he told you not touching. If you transfer this over to America, what are you guys are touching? You're constantly touching black celebrities that's perpetrating or gatekeeping for Satan, for Luciferians, for Freemasons, Jesuits. That is what you're doing. Birkin, trying to get a Birkin bag. You're bringing that accursed thing into your home. A lot of these brands that you guys are buying, I didn't notice either. But a lot of these brands, there are accursed things. I can't tell you how many Gucci Louis belts I bought. But it could be looked at as an accursed thing. Because it gets your minds off the Most High. It makes you rely on your own money, your own worth. And not the worth of the Most High. So when you go out into battle, and you go out and you have trouble at work, and you have trouble with other people, and you think it is a black-white thing, you think it is something wrong with them, but it's you. It is your love for the accursed things in this land. Your relationships don't work because you're in love with the accursed images of couples in this land. You can't get a job that satisfies you. You can't get the opportunities. Because your attitude is based on the accursed images in this particular land. So the Most High is not going to fight for you. No matter how many times you pray or when you pray or send prayers up, the Most High is not going to fight for you because you surround yourself with the accursed thing. Whatever that thing is in your life that's taking control of your image, taking control of your mind, body, and spirit, that thing. It's with keeping you away from your blessings. I'm trying to help you not hurt, learn this the hard way. But some of you are hard-bottomed to learn this the hard way. So what Akon did is told them, like, look, I took the gold, I took the silver, and put it in, and I took it and put it in my tent, and this is what I did. So Joshua told him, all right, cool, go get what you took, get your family, get your stuff. They took him to a valley. Family and all. Took his whole family in the middle of the valley, burned them alive. Took Achan because he was the tribe of Judah. Like I said, the scepter, the example. They took him and stoned him to death. Then the Most High said, all right, now you can go to Ai. I have given Ai over to you. This is what it means, y'all. This is the most simplistic example of what the Most High is willing to do for you when you act right. This is what the Most High will do to you if you decide to not act right. It's really simple. You really have to fight your own vanity to really understand this notion. I mean, yeah, back then they didn't have the Mashiach. They didn't have forgiveness because they are the ones that seen all those plagues in Egypt. They seen manna fall from heaven. They had angels leading them. They seen so much of the Most High. The Most High said, y'all mess up, I'm taking all y'all out, or taking who sinned out. That's how stiff-necked and ignorant they were back then. So just fast forward now, we just is twice as ignorant because now we actually have the Mashiach to go to for forgiveness. We actually had the examples of what our relatives did. We have the books to prove what they did. What made them successful, what made them fail. We have the books. They didn't have anything. They were literally going on their own and learning as they go. We get to see what happened to them. That's how you need to know who your enemies are. Because if you're setting yourself up to be the accursed thing based on the images you see on TV, you see in your same skin, the same color, you are going to be rooted out. You separately will be taken out away from your family, away from people, away from righteousness, away from the covenant, from the hedge, the protection. You will be led to a valley where your ass will be burned alive. Figuratively. Burned alive spiritually. Stone spiritually, stone, no matter how you look at it, you're going to get punished for keep doing the accursed thing. That's why they set up in Black Lives Matter, they set up a bisexual or a whatever they were saying themselves, or non-binary, whatever they sexuality they say they were. That's why they picked specifically black women, because if you could get black women to do it, to be at the head of it, black men, simp men will follow into it, because they believe, oh, we got to exalt the black woman, protect the black woman, black woman, black woman, black woman, black woman. And you don't know how to separate the holy from the profane. Y'all don't know how to separate the holy from the profane. You don't know how to look at Proverbs 31 and pick your woman from that specific, specific pasture. You don't know how to just pick your woman from that. You're picking your woman from what the accursed thing said you should have. So you follow right after Patrice McCullers and all them other women that were saying they were communists and all this other stupid stuff they were saying. People followed up that. Why you think the marches didn't work? Why do you think the laws didn't work? The acts didn't work? Why do you think George Floyd didn't work? Why do you think Michael Brand didn't work? Why do you think Sandra Bland didn't work? Because they were involved with the accursed thing. They lived their lives as the accursed thing. Who is going to go for them? You expect the cops? The cops that y'all don't like, you expect them to know what the accursed thing is, when their role is judgment? That's their role they play. I don't know about you, but I would rather try to remove all the accursed things in my life, so when I go to battle, I know I'm taken care of. It don't need to be 1,000 people to be marching to beat this system. It takes one person. It says 500 or a couple of you can make, could put a foot 500. Or 500, a small number of you can chase 10,000 away. Now, who would have the power to allow you to chase people away being a small number? The Most High. Look through your life. Find out what the accursed thing in your life is and try to get rid of it. Then you go to battle. After you know who your enemies are. And stop looking at your enemies as color. Look at it as whatever doctrine they are participating in. Pick your enemies based off that. Learn how to stay away from them. Like it says, soft as a dove, wise as a serpent. I'm not telling you to go out there and just wreak havoc on your enemies and just beat people up. I'm not saying that. I'm saying learn how to be smart. The days of, oh, I'm going to forgive my enemies, I'm going to pray for my enemies, pray for those who spitefully, those scriptures were used for the Israelites when they have gone away from the Most High's commandments for a while. That's what those scriptures mean. Those scriptures were there so we wouldn't take each other out. Because we were trying to find righteousness. We knew the laws of the Most High. That's what we should be practicing our forgiveness and our turning of the cheek on. Those who, in the heat of moment, who follow the rules, but in the heat of moment, chose to sin and made enemies of our own kindred. But we were following the commandments the best we could. That's what the laws are for. Y'all are still consumed with this Martin Luther King ideology that you could go walk in the street, get chewed up by dogs, get beat by batons, and say, oh, let's turn the other cheek. Let's be nonviolent. Just so we can get to a point where you let pedophilia piggyback off the civil rights movement. And that's what the whole basis of the whole movement was for. It wasn't for us. It was to disenfranchise us. To accept everybody underneath our pain, suffering, and blood. To where we are, to the Antichrist. This is what the whole point of the civil rights movement was about. We didn't know this back then, but this is what it's about today. That's what it was always been about. It was the groundwork to accepting pedophilia. Obviously, because you just seen a Supreme Court justice, a black woman, being a part of the same system that you can't tolerate, being lenient to pedophiles. At the end of the day, it's pedophilia. And before and after that, it will be bestiality. It ain't gonna be, they already have bestiality in different zoophilias all over this country where you could go into a zoo and have sex with animals. They already had that. Once they get to pedophilia, it's not going to stop. That's what knowing who your enemies are and wising up to it. I'll see y'all next week.